Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Two fanboys and a filthy casual back at you once again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Today we're going to be talking about the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
We do like an end of the year wrap up or anything like that, but it's rare, especially since this is only the third year we're doing this.
Right.
So it's rare that we get to do a wrap up of a whole decade. Now, you know, before we begin, as usual, we're going to be doing Lewis's favorite take, or part of it, with the potpourri. So who has potpourri today?
I do, for you guys and for everybody else listening.
Okay.
All right. So if you guys didn't hear, I don't know if you heard, they announced the 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees or inductees today.
Okay. I missed that. Okay.
Yeah.
So who's on it?
That's what we're gonna talk about.
Let's go for it. All
right. And I want to know if you guys know anything about. There's a couple of them you guys are gonna know.
You said rock and or roll.
Yes.
Dennis and I are like, what?
No.
What is that?
But it's, you know, I know.
So one fanboy and two filthy casual right now.
You guys will know. You'll know at least like two of them. So the first one, who I think you're not, none of you guys, because even me, this is pretty random, is the band T-Rex.
Really?
No, never heard of them.
The only thing I know about them is that they really can't like pump the roof.
Raise the roof.
The joke was ruined.
Raise the roof. Or made better.
Can't raise the roof. Damn it. The roof. Come on. T-Rex.
Turning that into a meme.
Like I say, they can't play the guitar because their arms aren't long enough to reach it.
So no, unfortunately, I have not heard.
You've heard it. Maybe you guys have heard it, like the one song, Bang the Gong, Get It On.
Looking at the wrong crowd.
It was in one of those Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Again, remember, I just listened to AM.
That's true. Talk radio. Okay.
Yeah. Talk radio.
Damn it.
Okay. Even when he was in high school.
This is a great potpourri.
You'll get stuff. The next inductees are the Doobie Brothers.
Okay, I've heard of them.
They're from
American Pie,
right? No, the apple hiking.
Jeez. Doobie doobie. I thought you were singing the Scooby Doo theme song.
I know. I thought you were doing the.
It's actually like an apple hiking society song.
Oh, that's true. Sadly, I knew that. One of their lead singers has one of the most distinct singing voices of all time. They make fun of him all the time for his singing voice. He's just one of their lead singers. There was a little hole. Joke in the 40-year-old virgin about a DVD playing nothing but his music.
Oh, Michael McDonald?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was one of the lead singers. He did What a Fool Believes. So then,
I know Michael McDonald.
Yeah, see? But see? Everybody, I was like, people got, oh, this got a Michael McDonald impression? I was trying to think of mine too, but I couldn't do it. The next two, I think you guys might not know. I don't know. I'm confused here, but Nine Inch Nails.
Lewis is what?
Lewis is it?
I know not.
Okay, Nine Inch Nails. Yeah.
I am a Niner Incher.
That's what you call the group, right?
Yeah, that's what
the fans. That's what you call the fans.
I like the music.
Yeah.
Shout out to my wife.
I mean,
no, she likes Nine Inch Nails.
Yikes.
I think I have heard, and again, like Doobie Brothers, I know the name.
You know the name.
I'm pretty sure if I hear the songs, I'd be like, "Ooh, that one!" I can't tell you what
Nine Inch Nails has.
Trent Reznor is the lead man.
He also did the soundtrack for The Social Network.
Yeah,
that's what he does nowadays.
Yeah, more recently he did the Watchmen. He did the Watchmen soundtrack,
and he did something else. He did a movie recently too. I just can't remember off the top of my head.
Dude's making bank like the last few decades, dude. But yeah, I went to high school in Burbank. Nine Inch Nails was something that was introduced to me by my, my melanin.
Are we allowed to say that?
we can say that.
Melanin deficient.
I mean, at least compared to us, right?
Right, exactly.
They had the best one of the best lyrics.
Social commentary time. But again, going back to my melanin lacking friends. But they were playing that in front of their parents. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Because their parents weren't Filipino.
That's true. They
like,
weren't.
To this day, I still don't like playing like any rap music with my parents in the car because I'd be like,
awkward. Yeah. I know. It wasn't like the K-Rock clean version either. It was like they were playing it on their CD players. I'm like, ooh, that's vulgar. But okay.
All right, the next inductee is Depeche Mode.
Okay, that I know. They
you know, the Mode.
I know the Mode.
Yeah, they are fantastic. I mean, I feel bad that it took them this long to get.
I was about to say, like, actually, those two, both Nine Inch Nails and Depeche Mode, it's taking them this long.
The next person will be. It'll feel like it's a lot. It feels more.
Which, by the way, for our listeners, you can kind of tell that I don't listen to music.
No, we're gonna get into the music knows.
I know the name. Yeah. Again, yeah. I I'm pretty sure if you play a song, I'd be like, "Ooh, I know that one."
Yeah, they have Sound of Silence. Not Sound of Silence. Yeah, I think it's Sound of Silence. But Depeche Mode. Yeah. The original emo band.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was gonna also remember the days of Backside Records in Burbank. Again, going back to there's another band called KMFDM.
Yeah.
So is that urban legend that their actual the name of that band is Kill MFing Depeche Mode?
I didn't know.
Okay, that. I thought it was just like urban legends. Like if you put the Nirvana cover in half, it's like Satan or something like that.
Okay,
you don't remember that.
You learned something new every day.
Sorry, dude.
Right, I didn't live in your backside. I didn't live in Burbank, but I was at Backside. I was at your Backside a lot. Damn you, Backside Records, for having the worst, best name ever. It's confusing the hell out of me.
There's also that pool hall next to it, so I'm not surprised you were there all the time.
Oh, yeah, Pantasia.
Pantasia.
Second to last, I think Dennis knows at least one of his songs.
Did Will Smith get into
that? Oh, that's probably next year, I think. Well, you know what? No. Will Smith should be soon because this guy started his career after Will Smith. His name is the Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, nice.
I know that he got shot up.
Very good.
How about that one?
Very good, Dennis.
And I know that if you put together those words, those letters, it spells big.
I'm so glad.
So this is finally the year Biggie gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Tupac got in a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
Then like now that Dennis mentions it, it is weird that Will Smith, who is in my opinion, he won the first ever hip hop Grammy,
yeah, right.
And he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet.
But is he like? And I guess, pardon the ignorance here. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, how does
that's the thing?
Big E and
Will Smith
and how do they get in? Is Big E?
I think the definition of of rock and roll has come a little it's got a little vague lately. I guess
ever since they let Run DMC in, it's been like. It's not supposed to be just a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's supposed to be just the Music Hall of Fame.
Right, yeah.
But they're literally like, oh, rock and roll, because that's the original, like mm-hmm. the Beatles and Chuck Berry. Exactly. And the last inductee who, the definition of rock and roll, Whitney Houston.
Wow, really? I was gonna say, dude, if you want a headbanger, put on the Bodyguard.
Hey. Queen of the Night is a banger. That's a rock and roll song.
If that doesn't get the party going.
I'm your baby tonight. That's like.
Oh, dude. That's a jam, dude.
See, copyrighted, guys. That's what
I'm going to listen to that on the way home now. Thank you for that earworm, jerk.
But Whitney Houston, and this is what's weird to me. So a few years ago, Nirvana got in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Nirvana. They said it started in like 1990. It's supposed to be like 25 years.
Okay.
Whitney Houston, I'm pretty sure it started in the early 80s. Yeah, like I was 83 say, or 82, whatnot. But I don't know why they didn't consider her up until now. It's like she came around the same time Madonna did, and right. Madonna got in a few years ago. Or I don't know if she got in yet either. But like, they were those early 80s pioneers, and absolutely, for her not to be considered in that echelon,
yeah,
with those guys is
up until now, especially.
Up until now. So, like,
well, you know, would you, happen to know, like, how do they decide for the NBA? It's like the coaches,
and yeah.
The,
so, what I've been reading is like they have a certain judging committee that they have, and you have to have a certain amount of votes to get in.
Okay, so is that committee melanin lacking as well?
Yeah, super. Because they were like,
what's a biggie? Your friends? I know. Yeah. Were they from Birmingham?
No, I think they were from Ohio.
That's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is. It's in Cleveland. Like, did you know that
Ohio became a state in 1803?
You're contributing.
So you don't know the Doobie Brothers, but Ohio. But you know why the Hall of Fame is in Cleveland?
No, I do not.
This is a joke for Dennis, by the way, because Cleveland rocks.
Damn it. I was waiting for that.
That's right.
I was like, here's Alley-oop.
It's like, Drew Carey.
God bless you, Drew Carey.
We don't talk enough about Drew Carey. We don't talk enough about Dedrick Bader.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And Ryan Stiles.
He's a good
Ryan Stiles.
Dedrick Bader, solid follow on Twitter, too, by the way. Dude's funny.
He is, but then I never forgive him from doing all those Not Another movies.
Oh,
yeah. He had to make money.
Right? I know. Him and Carmen Electra, they needed money.
Not everybody had the whose line is it money, dude. Which sucks. It's like, you gotta imagine, like, dude, like, was wondering, he's like, where's my invite?
he couldn't get past Mockery, man. That is too good. Right, dude. And he got surpassed by Wayne Brady, so. So that's the inductees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
Very nice, dude.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean, that's a solid, I mean, for me, three of those performers, obviously, I think deserve those spots, Nine Inch Nails, Biggie, and Whitney. So that's really cool.
I love Depeche Mode. Like, Depeche Mode, like, if you ever want to sing a karaoke song that never reaches any kind of high, like, you know, mm-hmm. Personal Jesus is as easy as it gets.
Oh, yeah, that's one of their songs. That's a song. Yeah.
Yes, that is a song. See, your wife is going to be so mad because I know she loves them.
I know she does, too.
Like, I don't know what your wife likes anymore. Like, now that I think about it, your wife's music tastes very... And my left hand is a...
Whoa, what?
We're talking about relationships, right?
Yes, I guess, but man. Okay, so on that note, we're going to be moving on to our actual topic. Like we mentioned, you know, the 2010s has just finished, and we kind of wanted to take a look back. Now, originally, I think when we were talking about this, we were talking about the idea of best of. And I realized, looking through our all of our things, even though I claim to be a full of, like, information and everything, I realized I don't really read or, you know, watch that many things. That's why I suggest to you guys, instead of a best of, you know, we do the favorites. The things that we actually... Like, you know, we actually loved watching and actually spent a lot of time. And so today we're going to be talking about three things. I believe we're going to be talking movies. We're going to be talking about wrestling. Okay. And then we're going to be talking about
comic books. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Actually, so, small change. I think we wanted to do TV first. We're going to save the movies for part two. Spoilers. Oh,
what did I just say?
So, you said movies.
Oh, I said movies.
Movies? Oh, sorry. You're right. Mavis. TVs. TV shows.
The TVs.
TVs. Speaking of which, I need TV testing. My work said... No, not like that. But my work said that I need to... It's a yearly thing, I guess,
dude. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean...
They prick you, and if the prick doesn't, like, turn into, like, a gruesome sore... Yeah, you don't have TV.
If it doesn't bubble up, you're okay.
If you don't die, congratulations. You keep your job. Jesus. This is so dark, dude.
So, let's start off with our favorite... TV shows, you said, right? Favorite TV shows of 2010. So, who wants to start here?
You know what? I'll jump in. I think what I wanted to... It was a great exercise when you guys came up with the topic of looking back at the whole decade. Because, yes, like Dennis mentioned, we've only had this
podcast... By the way, not you guys. I was like, really?
Okay, we'll do a list. No, like the decade...
Fine, then I'll take all the credit.
And you're hurdle for the idea.
You know, no, like, I totally stole it from everybody else. You know?
That's right. Everybody else is doing the best of decades. So I was like, hey, we should
But they're
too.
Not as sad and pathetic as we are.
So, you know, I have like a list of almost... yeah, 25 shows from the last decade that I like really, my barometer for it was basically like, did I DVR it when it was coming out? And basically, did I was or if it was streaming, was it good enough that I like binged it? There is such a thing as like you stop through it because you're not interested enough, or you just kind of lose interest. And full disclosure for this one and for all the other categories that we have as well, I looked it up. I guess there's a name for it. It's recency bias. So I mean, like a lot of the stuff that I think I'm going to list is probably only from the last few years. You know, as well, disclosure is like, I was broke in the early tens. You know, I was employed by the government and we were furloughed because people wouldn't pay their taxes. Also, so you know, I didn't. You know, when we get into video games, unfortunately,
we love you, government.
Unfortunately, I had like, you know, Dennis was nice enough years ago. I don't know if you remember this, but you gifted me a 360, but I only had like two games. So for like 4 years, I only had two games on a 360. So a lot of my video games are going to be from the last few years. But anyway,
when you could actually afford it.
Yes, exactly. It's like, hooray! I can actually connect my Xbox to like the internet, so I can play with other people. All right. So anyway, long story short, let's jump into it. So shout out to, I'm gonna lump these two together, but some of my favorite shows was The Flash and Arrow on CW. This was the Greg Berlanti version of the DC superheroes, one of the first of the basically like the huge slate that CW is doing nowadays. So these, you know, these at the time back in 2011, I believe, is when the Arrow first came out. You know, it was pretty risky. Like, even people, like, fans like us, you know, we would chat or talk on the side about, like, are they really going to pull off an Arrow? This is a few years after, you know, the Smallville shows on CW. So, you know, I love those shows. And obviously, it's you know, a decade later, it's still going strong because I think they're going to add a new Superman show on DC,
yep,
or CW, as well as Stargirl,
yeah,
which is kind of a deep cut for me. I mean, Black Lightning was a pretty deep cut as well because, you know, pretty obscure characters, but Stargirl is like one of those, like, you know, she was in a group when, you know, reading comic books and stuff. But yeah, so more power to them on that one. So I'm going to lump those two together. Oh, how did you want to do? Do you want to do
think one? We go around.
Okay, no, okay. So yeah, so that's my first
pick. I wanted to jump in because I do remember, and I think we mentioned this before, but when The Flash is in particular, I know you were talking about the Arrow, and I did try one or two, and it didn't really like pique my interest.
Okay.
But the moment The Flash was there, and I'm a huge Flash, you know, Flash fan, and when it came out, I remember at least the first season in particular. Like,
oh, yeah.
We were all three of us with my wife, with your wife, you know, with Pamela over here. They were calling. We were texting each other.
Uh-huh. And then we would be like, no spoilers for tonight, guys. Or from last night, we didn't watch it yet. So, like, me and Dennis would tug on the side.
That was Lewis just, and his wife.
Oh, that's true.
Because you were like, we're still four episodes behind. No!
Forget about it.
You're out of here.
Why even watch?
So, yeah, get out of the chat. Definitely, I'm with you there with The Flash. You know, when I was talking about TV shows, I was trying to figure out all these different things because, you know, I was trying to figure out, do we include, is TV, does that mean just network, or are we talking about, you know, streaming services and everything? Because, you know, we always talk about this is the age of, you know, content. And mm-hmm. a lot of the content, especially the 2010s, the moment Netflix started coming out, Hulu started coming out, and all of a sudden we have a wave of material here. So I was trying to figure out different things as varied as I can. So one of the TV shows that I know I got obsessed. I didn't start it off. I only started the second season, but my wife loved it so much that she was talking about it. And that show is Sherlock.
Sherlock started
2010, went to 2017, even though there's only been 13 episodes.
Yeah.
You know,
All together.
I always make fun of Lewis and his love for Doctor Who.
It's on my list.
You know, I know. That's why. But, you know, this show was created by Stephen Moffat, mm-hmm. however you want to call it.
And then Mark Moffat.
Moffat.
That's his rap name.
Yeah. He got Moffat.
Is Moffat part of the...
also an inductee.
Is he part of our crew?
No, and Mark Gatiss was... I remember first watching it, and I was like, oh, it's another Sherlock Holmes...
you know,
elementary.
Right, you know? I remember that. Yeah.
And so
yeah,
they were trying to do the same thing. So I was like, oh, and I remember watching. It was Watson, you know, and I watched it. And I was like, oh my god, this is lame. And so my wife told it was Moffat, because again, I had been making fun of Lewis for Doctor Who, and then I remember watching the second season, and I was like hooked, and I was so frustrated that there's no more.
I don't think I know.
Supposedly they've been talking about it, especially considering that. Doctor Strange,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
What was that name again?
Benedict Cumberbatch. Freudian slip right there. I'm a little upset too that Sherlock season 4 hasn't come out.
son of a batch. Sorry. Considering that Doctor Strange just. The director came out. I haven't heard any Cumberbatch news, so maybe, just maybe, you know, unless Martin Freeman finds another job, which he seems to do all the time.
He will find something.
Yeah.
Because Martin Freeman is in everything.
Yeah. Well, Black Panther 2 is coming out, so I don't know if he's going to be in.
I know he's in like 5 of the Phase 4 movies.
Oh, is he really?
I don't know. Wow, I'm okay. Just guessing. Because, okay, you know, he had that one part.
Damn you. You're the reason why.
But Holmes is holding it up.
The one good thing, and I have to tell you, the one good thing is that, I don't know if because of my memory and I'm getting old, but I swear to you, there have been days where I'm watching BBC, Sherlock is on, and I watch it. Ooh, is this a new one?
Yeah.
Nope, it's the same old one. But because, and what's cool about it is that it wasn't like a TV show, it was a mini movie.
Yeah, you know.
And so, even though we did say that, yes, 13 episodes, but those 13 episodes, it's over an hour long, and I wouldn't watch.
Stop and watch.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I put that in my list.
Was it? Oh, but yet, it's early.
Remember, they made a movie about that, and.
Because I heard it bombed in theaters.
I mean,
were you the one person who saw it?
No, it recently came on. It's as someone who loves,
yeah, that combo.
It pained me so much.
But here's the thing: I can't imagine, and I didn't want to watch it just because it looked terrible. But it's almost impossible to think that here is a premise. You have these two, and they're going to be Sherlock Holmes.
It should have been magic. It should have been the funniest thing, and they literally like blew it all on Will Ferrell trying to do an accent, and that was like
blew their budget on his accent. How does that work?
And then like Braun Strowman's in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Random.
So there's
that.
Well,
you know, any good Sherlock has to have a wrestler, I guess. Because yeah. I remember, who was that guy in the Robert Downey version?
Oh, Kurgan. Yeah.
Was in the, oh, sorry, random.
But and yes. He got to like slap his ears, and
yes,
that was the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
And supposedly they're gonna come out with a third one.
Oh yeah, they're working on that already.
But I don't know, with Doolittle doing
little. I've been hearing
terrible little stuff about it.
I've heard that Robert Downey Jr. needs to stop doing that British accent.
This is his second movie, right? Or his second franchise.
Like, yeah, like, because when they announced Doolittle, I was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's not Eddie Murphy.
But true. But again, it's like, It's almost like what's the guy that played Jack Sparrow?
Johnny Depp.
It was like, here's Johnny Depp. Let's put Johnny Depp, like, flamboyant as hell.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Go ahead, make the whole movie. It's almost, that's the thing. Look, we need somebody that can talk to animals. Okay.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
But if none of the animals are Norm Macdonald, do you really want to watch it?
But Selena Gomez is in there.
Is she really?
Yeah. Dude, take a look at the list of
animal voices.
Those are like top names.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm curious now.
It's star studded. It's amazing, and there should have been no reason why that thing failed.
Is any of the animals Larry the Cable Guy?
No.
That's why.
You're right.
Because if there's no Mater, then it doesn't matter. That's right. I guess I'll go with my first show. Everybody else listening, you're going to realize the one thing about me. All my favorite TV shows, comedies. Because I don't do dramas. The only one I did was Sons of Anarchy. And the years that it was in the 2010s was not very good. So the best years were the previous decade. So my first one is going to be a show that I've harped about here before. And
Parks and Rec.
No, that's later. That's number one, dude.
Oh, okay.
That's obviously the best show on TV ever.
But, I didn't know we were ranking.
Oh, no. I'm going to go in that order. But Happy Endings. I know I talked
I
about
that.
It.
I have that. I have that. I love that show,
that
too.
Show is...
Oh, the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the masseuse parlor.
No. I saved that for Sundays after football.
Yikes.
But the show is always going to be... Like, it's on my Hulu list. I have it on... Like, I... Torrented the whole series, but it's never not funny. Just because, like we talked about in our previous episode in The Mandalorian, we talked about one of the best parts of that very last episode was Sudeikis and Adam Pally. Adam Pally plays the token gay guy in Happy Endings, but he's not a token gay guy. He's a straight dude but he's like a regular guy that just happens to be a gay guy. And so they treat it like that. Like, because you know how, like, in real life, not all gay people are, like, flamboyantly gay, right?
But on TV, everybody's, like, Will and Grace. Like,
yeah. Like, they have to be to the extreme. And in this one, it's like, he's just a regular, like, the whole premise of the show, or one of the premises of the show, is that he didn't find out he was gay until college when he dated Penny, the Casey Wilson. And then he's like, oh, dude, I'm gay. And then
so rough.
And then now they're just like, oh, we're all friends. Yeah, and so it's this may be blasphemous to whoever is listening to this, but I don't really care. It's a funnier version of Friends. Like, Friends is an entertaining show, but it's not and it only has certain funny moments. Like, there's obviously funny moments in Friends, but it didn't have consistently funny moments like Happy Endings does. And it's, the whole joke is, hey, the show's called Happy Endings. You know? I just did the motion so nobody could see me.
Don't point it at me, man.
I know. At least I didn't do it like Yeah, not a video podcast for long right now. But love the show. Anytime it's on, it randomly shows up on like channels, and I'm like, holy crap! And it's still funny to me. So
yeah, what I like about that show too is, again, like going against the whole gay trope too. So there's an interracial couple with Damon Wayans Jr. who was hilarious. Like, he was like when he came out, or when they said that he was on the cast, I thought, I was like, oh, it's gonna be gimmicky like his dad, or it's gonna be like another in living color like caricature. But I loved how they portrayed his, like, so they're the only married couple on that show, but they didn't play it off like, oh, is he gonna cheat, or is he gonna be a jerk, or they're, you know, like, they're in a healthy, honest to God, like, good relationship, and nothing broke it. And like, my wife and I loved watching that early on, because like Adam Pally's, you know, gay character, they didn't play it off for cheap laughs or like bottom brow, like, you know, he's the black guy, so he's got to be blah, blah, blah. But it was
the opposite.
Yeah, he was actually like kind of like not femme, but he was like the gentler one. The his wife was the one who was a lot more aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great. And not to mention, like, who was the Elijah Cuthbert? Like,
oh, hell yeah.
She was, I mean, like, I can't remember her movies now, but, you know, when
Old School.
Yeah,
The Girl Next Door.
Right. Yeah. So after, yeah, that's, well, that's what was Sorry, in my that, head
that
too.
That's right? The only thing that popped into my head.
That's not the only thing that popped.
like she was hilarious too.
What,
like,
a great movie. You know,
sorry. So, gonna go see that too after I listen to Whitney Houston on the way home. But again, kudos, Harold. Good call. Great show. That was on my list too.
Okay, real quick. This is a really, really weird topic. It popped in my head. I needed to share with you.
Uh-huh.
Did you know who got cut from... Whose parts got cut from Poison Ivy 2?
Who?
Whose scenes got cut from Poison Ivy 2? Poison Ivy 2 starring Alyssa Milano.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Alyssa Milano. That's
Drew Barrymore?
No. Supposedly Leo DiCaprio was
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's so random, dude.
Wait, there's more scenes where never mind. I didn't know there's other people in that movie.
That Leo DiCaprio got cut, not Alyssa Milano.
So. Oh, they better not.
Let's keep that on.
Yeah, that photographer scene.
All right. I learned from Girl Next Door to that. Like, I don't know what to do.
That's a certain mind track that we just got onto. It has nothing to do with
Alicia. Best of the Decade. Well, she gets the Best of the Decade too. Yeah. All right, so for me, I'm going to lump in two shows. animated style, I'm going to go with Archer and Bob's Burger. Archer is a little bit of a cheat because I think that one started in 2008 or 9, but I think most of it, like the last few seasons, has been in the, you know, the 10s. Again, I got to give credit to Dennis for harping in my ear. Try it out. You like it. And I did. Thank goodness it's on Hulu. So, again, it's one of those recency biases because, yeah, I did just binge it over this last year. But like I said, it's a great show. Hilarious if you're into it's not like lowbrow humor, but there is a lot of like there's a lot of, you know, penis jokes and a lot of innuendo, and it's great. Bob's Burger, H. John Benjamin is just a freaking, like, he's a gem. He's a gem. It's just
animated H. John Benjamin.
He's amazing. So, like, anything he does, he could be a spy or a dad flipping burgers. He's just,
he can also be an RV spokesman.
Is he really?
You didn't know he's the RV spokesman?
Oh my God. I gotta re-listen to this.
Is that what you know? Because you don't know what his face looks like.
No, I don't actually. I really don't.
But his face is like,
I don't know.
We've got the meats for sandwiches.
I gotta re-listen to this now. Okay, so those are my picks. I know we got a lot to go through, so yeah.
Okay, my next one is not too. It started around 2015. It was a TV show on AMC that was created by Miles Miller, and it was a great premise when I first heard it. It's a, you know, it's a martial arts movie. You know, it's there's swords. There's, you know, there's like kung fu. There's like the hidden dragon, like, you know, like martial arts, like,
oh, like the wire fighting,
wire fights. But then it's gonna be like a Western type thing, and it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be in like desolate places. And the show is Into the Badlands, and Into the Badlands was amazing. I thought it was really great. The protagonist, the thing that made it even better was Nick Frost came in. You know how when Star-Lord, you know, what's Star-Lord's
Chris
name?
Chris Pratt.
When Chris Pratt, okay, you have to get a diet, you need to work out, you're going to get ripped. Sexy.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to use that to our advantage.
So I was asking this to Dennis, I don't remember if Dennis remembers.
Ooh.
No, Sammo Hung is really, really quick and fast.
So Nick Frost is just Nick Frost.
But that's the thing, though. Like, Into the Badlands, the way they made it was each character had their own style. Like the butterflies all had their own weapons, and Nick Frost was like a kung fu.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, where he wasn't doing Drunken Master style, but it was like, yes, amazing, because every so often he'll do like wire work. And I don't know if it was actually a guy in a fat suit, but it's amazing because you'd see him, like, he'd be fighting and you could see all the effort, and then out of nowhere he'll do like a split kick. It's like, what? So I didn't like it. They wanted more Walking Dead, I guess. And so after 3 seasons, I'll tell you, if you have not watched it, you need to watch it, because the martial arts is great. But B, the storyline is actually really interesting.
Oh, cool. Is that streaming now, or is it IMC?
It's on AMC okay. Plus or something like that.
Cool.
Okay. My next one is another comedy, obviously. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn, was that 2010?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it's going into its 7th season now. But when it initially came out, I was super interested in it, obviously, because Andy Samberg is the star. And Terry Crews was in it. And those two automatically sold me on that show. And I had no idea that, as much as I love all the characters on there, that my favorite would be Andre Brower.
Because the gay captain?
Yeah. But like Andre Brower from like Homicide, yeah, like all the serious movies, but still getting to play the same guy. But because his lines are so deadpan, it's just so good. And you're just like, I did not expect this from that guy. And I did not expect just the whole show in general. Like, from the very first episode, like, you know how we did that discussion where, you know, shows don't get their stride? This show, for me, hit the stride in the very first episode.
Okay.
And, like, from then on, just kept on going. And it stayed consistent. They have some of the best guest stars, because the guys who are on the show, are or the guys who created the show are the guys who created The Office and who created Parks and Rec.
Okay.
And those are the guys who, like, they've cultivated that community of comedy. So it's like anybody who's like in that kind of atmosphere, like Adam Scott shows up a lot. Craig Robinson is one of the recurring characters, but the general characters in itself, Chelsea Peretti, who's fantastic in it, Andy Samberg, Melissa Fumero, who is like super cute, and then Joe Latrullio, who's from The State. So like all his buddies from The State, like all those guys that made those kind of shows, those guys show up. So it's like it's a great ensemble cast. The show doesn't work well unless the whole ensemble is actually, you know, pretty, they have good chemistry with each other. So I appreciate a lot that they do.
That's cool. All right, so for
that's cool.
Man. That's very cool. Inspired by Dennis's choice.
Lewis was patting Harold on the shoulder.
I was like, oh,
that's cool. Very I'm glad cool. you have an opinion, Harold.
You said a thing. So I'm going off of Dennis's choice for martial arts, and I'm gonna go. I know this this next choice wasn't exactly universally loved like its predecessor, but I think it still holds a very.
Ooh, you went Korra, didn't you?
I did. I know it's not, like I said, four seasons. It's not as universally loved as its predecessor, Avatar, you know, The Last Airbender. But I really enjoyed it. Again, like when I premised this, you know, it wasn't a show that I DVR'd or, you know, binged as soon as I saw them. Yes, as well as going to that third or fourth tier, however it is. And I actually bought the physical media of the show because I liked it. I enjoyed it. And I thought it was something that. It matured and it took the plot and the story and the world of Aang and took it like, you know, 10 years, 15, 20 years later. And I thought it was a perfectly good show. I wished, and, you know, it also, you know, it explored a lot more of the world of the roots of the Avatar powers and all that good stuff. You know, I'll admit, yes, it's not as good as. The Last Airbender was, but I still think it was one of the better shows of the last decade, at least animated wise.
I have to tell you that I did enjoy it.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched the last three episodes, so now that I know that you have,
you got it.
My next one, I want, you know, what's the term that you've been talking about? Recency bias. This is the most recent. This is the one that really fits under because 2013.
Okay.
And I remember, I distinctly think when we talked about Stan Crap, you know, blah 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 blah. And I remember using Steven Universe as a. Just recently, my daughter started watching it, kind of like. I guess I can just lump that in. My Little Pony was the one where, for every single year, I was like, I gotta watch it. Well, Steven Universe, already Universe Future or whatever it's called. I just started watching. I've got to tell you, watching it.
Oh wow, that strongly.
Like, it's weeks ago. I kind of told you. I think we need, or a couple of days ago, we kind of need to revisit to check out the other shows, because of the fact that at least this show made me realize that there is an in between kids and adults.
Yeah.
Like my daughter enjoys watching the show. It's great, mm-hmm. But I'm looking at it. I'm like, dude, there's so many things here. It talks about PTSD. It talks about
really.
It talks about sexuality.
Okay.
It talks about you know, there's all these extreme themes. I'm like I think yesterday I was watching with my wife, and I turned to my wife and said, "Oh my God, I can't believe they went there." You know, there was spoiler alert: Steven Universe is somebody like that fights and just has to like. You know, beat like these monsters, and then all of a sudden you realize, because it's a kid's show, you never really think about it, but it turns out Steven Universe has been holding this in, that he's felt bad for every single time he's made a mistake, and that and every single time that he's he hasn't been able to save who he wants to save, and then that kind of destroys him. But then the way they do it is they do it in song, and they do it that it's a catchy song, it's entertaining, it's, you know, there's like it's all about love, but you're sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe they were able to talk about that, something that intense, something that important, yet it's in a kid's show. And so I'm definitely, I feel really dumb, and I'm going to put that as to...
Still counts.
It came out during that time, so...
We're going to retcon it in.
It's fine. Community. Community being...
That's really all you watch is...
All I watch is like, my life is depressing enough that I don't need to keep watching other people's drama. Best in anything.
Yeah.
I just need people to make me laugh. And then once in a while, feel... Just like Community was written. It's like I've been saying, is ensemble casts, when they work well together, it's probably the most entertaining thing that I can ever ask for. Especially with this one, where we had people who were not very popular or known at the time at all. The only one who had any big backing to him was Chevy Chase, and he ended up being like the last of the main characters. Everybody else got their exposure or created their exposure from that show. Donald Glover went from being a stand-up comedian to being an absolute superstar.
Yeah.
Like, and that doesn't happen if he doesn't have that run on Community, where they show him that he can also be funny, but he can also write there. And then we have Ken Jeong, you know, who, known for The Hangover at the time, a weekly series. So we have that. Everybody else worked so well together. The pop culture gold. And I've been rewatching that series for the past, I think, since the new year started, because I was like, oh, what haven't I watched on Hulu in a while? And I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
And that's for the past like 3 weeks, just me binging. I'm already on season 4. So, yeah.
Right on. Okay, so for me, I'm going to wrap it up. I think of all of you guys, I'm the most casual guy, so I'm not going to even deep dive into them. But the last decade, I did love... You know, Doctor Who, mentioned already that.
That doesn't count.
I know.
That started like the 70s or
That's something. True, it did. So we won't count that. But, you know, I did like Game of Thrones, Stranger Things, again, casual viewing. But I think the one that I kind of want to talk about that we haven't had a chance to, or at least it was before our time, another animated one. I think the other ones, I do have another list of like animated shows, but I do like your idea. We'll do a deep dive, another episode of The State of Animation. But I do want to talk about the Samurai Jack finale. So I think that's a unique beast in that, like, the series, Genndy Tartakovsky's series, originally ended back in the 2000s. I think 8 or 2009. It ended on a bit of a weird cliffhanger, because correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, they weren't able to finish the series the way that they wanted to. They left it on a weird cliffhanger where, you know, Samurai Jack is left in the future. He's stranded out there. But, you know, lo and behold, 5-6 years later, Cartoon Network gives Tartakovsky the green light to finish the series and go out with a bang. And you know, this premiered back in 2015, I think, or something like that. From earlier, it was one of those shows that I had to binge. I had to watch as soon as it came out. Yes, it was an Adult Swim, so it was such a heart wrenching, like tragic end to such a good story. The guy, again, just like, you know, the first 4 seasons, he speaks like 3 lines throughout the whole season, but it was just a satisfying ending for a really solid show. So shout out to that, and I think the rest of the list we'll cover when we do the State of Animation, because I really like your premise.
Real quick spoiler, did he ever get back?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes,
he does come back. He does get back to the past. It is one of those like fun little so literally he's sent back to the past mere seconds after he's sent to the future. So Aku in the past thinks Samurai Jax is only gone for like half a minute, and then he's back, and then he gives him the killing blow. So he does win. He does go back to the past. He does win.
Okay, so yeah. There's a happy ending.
There is a happy ending, but of course, you know, the Tartakovsky won't give it. Let us end with a happy ending. So he does meet, you know, he does meet somebody. Ironically, it's one of the spoilers in her character's name. It's Aku's daughter. So when he dies in the past, she dies in the future. So he doesn't have. So Samurai Jack doesn't end up with his spouse or with his significant other. So, you know.
F you.
Oh, sorry. Did I?
No, not you, but Tartakovsky. Oh. Whatever his name is.
Tartakovsky.
Tartakovsky.
Tartakovsky. Why can't you just have like? Why can't you just have good stuff, dude?
Just let him have its thing.
I know, dude. All that pain and all that suffering, and no, you still can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, let's continue on. I think the next one is I'm really an expert on. I think I'm gonna have to you know, just speak from my butt because I don't know anything about it. The next one is wrestling.
Okay. All right.
And so the 2010s, good or bad for wrestling?
H?
Excellent for wrestling. Probably the best since... late 90s, early 2000s.
Ooh.
Since Attitude Era?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, we could just pretend 2004 to... or 2005 to 2000...
They're the company? What are you talking about?
I mean, as someone who went to WrestleMania dressed as John Cena... wrestling. Like, I love the entertaining thing, but I love, like, you know, people and whatnot. And for me, you know, indie wrestling... did the mix into the mainstream, and that's when things just started getting good.
I agree. So, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd agree. I think it's good. I'm not like the big Mark like Harold is. Whatever. The opposite of Mark. The good version of Mark.
I am a Mark. You know. Okay. I'll fall for things, but oh my god, I can't believe it.
Suplex. I think he died.
But is Edge still alive? Sorry, that's an inside joke.
But what I was gonna say is like I think it was a really good decade because this is when the network debuted, right?
So yes,
they made the WWE made themselves a lot more accessible by doing what everybody else has been doing since then is. Creating their own network or their own app where you can stream all of their pay-per-views and all their shows. Because to be perfectly honest, in this last few years, I'm an on again, off again subscriber to their network, but it's infinitely cheaper than what it was. Yeah,
you mean the expensive DVD collection I currently have at home?
Yeah, exactly.
Where I've spent thousands of dollars, and then they come out with an app that costs $10 a month.
A month,
I was like. Okay.
Yeah. You have all those collectible Chris Benoit matches now.
Yes.
I can't even. Okay. Quick aside, there was a wrestling clip today that showed Chris Benoit wrestling Kurt Angle, like doing their little things.
Great match,
yeah. And then they were just like, this is what wrestling really looks like. I commented, that's what a murderer looks like. Yes. And all these people were like, boo this man. I was like, delete comment. I was like,
were you downvoted?
No, it was on Twitter. So I had to take it down because I was like, these people are going to hate me. Like, I mean, I'm telling the truth and it's sad, but yeah.
But yeah, there you go. So, I mean, I think it was a good decade because, yeah, like Harold said, I think wrestling, the mainstream at least, it geared away from the whole John Cena and Randy Orton formula they have to be 6'6", all muscle bound dudes that Vince McMahon loved to. Yeah, they had the WWF added, AJ Styles. Ricochet, the freaking renaissance of Rey Mysterio, because I swear that dude's like 50, but he's still moving like he's, someone half his age. So, yeah, good decade, I'd like to say. Not to mention CM Punk. I love CM Punk.
Yes.
I know I'm the casual, but I remember not having watched anything in a long while. And, Lewis invited me to one of the pay-per-views.
Yeah, I think it was Royal Rumble or WrestleMania.
Royal Rumble.
He didn't have to pay for it. And
I think I used Harold's
password. We were using my account, yes.
I got so used to, oh, it's a women's match. And I was like, I was like thinking, okay, what am I going to do now? And I remember both of you were like, oh, this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so. And like,
yeah, they're good.
You guys are watching this?
Oh, that's
and that's the thing. 2010, it seems like it's the emergence of the women's...
Yeah,
Women's diversity and good wrestling, which is why I will go with my very first match.
Go for it.
My first match is Sasha versus Bayley at Brooklyn NXT TakeOver. I know. It's because they're women.
That was dope.
Actually, you know what? It's surprising how... Not as surprising how good the match is because the story built in was fantastic where you have Sasha as this evil heel that everybody hates and the exact opposite of Bayley, who was a complete underdog who was always losing the big matches, finally gets her one-on-one. They get the main event slot and the second main event slot, but their match is considered probably the greatest women's match of all time with probably my favorite ending of all time. Do you know what a poison Frankensteiner is?
No.
Okay. A poison Frankensteiner is like a regular Frankensteiner?
Yes.
Except the person is facing backwards, so they have no idea where they're going to land.
So they're backflipping into the throw.
Yeah. But Bayley does it to Sasha off the top rope. So you see her head hit the floor, and it's like, oh my God. And then she does her finisher, and the crowd goes absolutely nuts. Everybody inside starts crying. They do their actual thing because they are the two pillars. They're two of the four horsewomen, like the main staples of wrestling.
It just doesn't come out.
No, it's not as good. But one of them is, you know, Ric Flair's daughter. Yes. So she comes out, Becky Lynch comes out, and they end up being currently now the four main stars in wrestling for women right now. But they started at NXT. They get this one big moment where it's like, they acknowledge that they're all friends, and they're just like, great match. We're, some of us are leaving. Unfortunately, Bayley's the champion, but so she has to stay. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what a great send off for everybody else. So yeah, that movie, that match, as you'll probably hear, most of my things, NXT matches.
Oh, good for you.
'Cause I like wrestling.
Well, I'm going to be a little more casual on this, and I think this is why I asked you earlier. It's like, does 2010 count?
Yeah.
But I'm going to throw in HBK versus Undertaker, two names that I know Dennis knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know
the Undertaker.
He knows the Undertaker.
I didn't realize that HBK came back.
Yeah. Yes. Ironically, this was his last match.
You know how he got resurrected? Because he's Christian. Born again.
And again.
That he loses to the Undertaker.
So, anyway, WrestleMania 26, according to my notes. So yeah, it was the, you know, it was the big, I think this was the rubber match. I think that's what you call it. The third match between HBK and Undertaker. HBK is trying to get his, you know, he put his career on the line against the Undertaker streak back when the Undertaker was still 18-0, or, you know, he still was undefeated.
Yeah.
So this was one of those great, like, it was almost like the HBK Ric Flair match, where it was like the work, not sound all internet wrestling guy, but you know, the work rate wasn't that great. Like, there wasn't any like amazing holds or backflips. I mean, I think there's like a moonsault or two from HBK, but you know, it was your classic, like, you know, David versus Goliath match where Undertaker was overwhelming HBK and you were rooting for him to win at the end. You know, Undertaker pulls two tombstone pile drivers on HBK, can't put him away. For the final move, dude goes into, like, pulls out his ultimate and does a jumping tombstone pile driver, which honestly looked like it compacted HBK's neck. So I'm just like, so kudos to HBK for taking that bump and saying, like, yeah, dump me on my head. That's cool, dude. But yeah, one of my favorite matches of that decade. A great way to start off. Actually, I know Triple H tried to do the same match with Undertaker, some kind of farewell match, but it didn't land the same. I don't know if it's HBK's just like his facials or his whatever.
He's more sympathetic.
Right? Like, yeah, that's what it is. I think what it is.
HBK in pain, you're like,
yeah, dude's dying.
I feel your pain.
Yeah, dude's gonna die.
That's why I love Ricky Steamboat, because like when Ricky Steamboat got hurt, you're like, oh my God, did he get shot? Yeah. And it's like, no, he just got shot.
Yeah.
But I think he's okay.
Yeah. When Triple H tries to sell, it's like, he's
like 6'6". So yeah, it's like,
he's selling.
He's like, does that really hurt?
Yeah.
Nah, you're good.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Check you're it out, fine.
My next one. Den, you got one?
No.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, buddy. There's this one. That move. And
okay.
Super kick.
My next one is.
They started stomping.
I know. And that was it. The main event of WrestleMania 30.
Was
supposed to be Randy Orton, who everybody still hates, versus coming back, returning Batista, who had retired a couple of years earlier, but had returned right before Guardians of the Galaxy came out.
That little movie, you know.
Yeah, something that. But Batista comes back as a Hollywood star when they want to see Daniel Bryan win. And he gets like jobbed out of the main event, and everyone's like, yeah, these two guys are great, but we're done with them. It's been a decade. Let somebody else shine. And so they're like, let's get the smallest guy who everybody loves. Let's get him into the match. But first, the first opening match of WrestleMania has to beat Triple H. So he has to beat 3/4 of Evolution to win a title. Ends up with a pretty good match with Triple H, despite Triple H is selling. And then gets still probably the greatest finisher that they never really got to finish. I mean, they did finish, but never finished anybody. They did a Batista bomb into an RKO.
Yeah, on a table.
And Daniel Bryan, I was like, well,
he's dead.
He had a good run, bro. Yeah. And then he comes in and he makes Batista tap, and it's fantastic. Like, the whole ring, everybody there, Like that whole Yes movement, that was the pinnacle of that. It's, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it right now. And then he had that one kid that had cancer.
Oh, Connor. Oh, ringside.
He had him ringside and he brings him up. And I'm like, like, I cried when Elizabeth got back with Macho Man. Yeah. That was like the most emotional I've gotten in WrestleMania. And then that moment. And I was like, see, wrestling can make you feel.
Yeah,
and the match was like fantastic.
Oh, yeah, dude. So, like, Batista and Randy Orton actually like picked up their slack. And
like, they were like slow. It's funny because like they're slow and they're sluggish. And their punches look like they're coming from 2 years away. And then you have Daniel Bryan like kicking the crap out of him. Like, and then, so you're just like, yes, yes, the whole time. And then it's just like, yeah. And then I figured with the bomb RKO, I was like, well, he's out.
Yeah, that's what
the match is. And then I would have been fine with that. Because no guy's supposed to get out from that. Taking, you know, and then he comes back and makes him tap. And it's like, yeah, amazing. He made Drax tap.
Yeah, made Drax tap. Oh yeah. All right. So for me, yes, please. Okay.
You know what? I disagree with that one. I didn't like it as much. There's not enough selling.
I believe that only gets a 1-star match. For me, when Dennis said earlier, this is not the best of per se, but our favorites. I'm gonna have to go with CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Oh, dude, what are you talking about? That match is so good,
so good. But I was like what you guys were saying. Like, I have to go on. Like, you know, I went on the internet and I just researched best matches of the decade. And for whatever reason, I never saw that name or this match on the list. I don't know if CM Punk or Lesnar is just, you know, whatever. Sour grapes for these internet wrestlers, but writers, I mean. But I loved this match because it was your, like I said, David and Goliath. It's your prototypical, your cliched wrestling trope, but they played it so well with the added bonus of, like, so CM Punk is, you know, he is as nerd as you can almost get, almost as nerdy as there's other nerdier dudes, but I can't remember their names right now. But you know, dude dresses up as Wolverine in a little homage to he's trying to make this match Hulk versus Wolverine, where Brock Lesnar is this unstoppable, you know, inhuman thing that cannot be pinned, cannot be tapped. But, you know, Wolverine's he's going to keep at it, going to keep fighting. And, yeah, one of my favorite spots is when CM Punk gets belly-to-belly suplex onto not the table, but, like, the top, the platform of it. And he just bounces off like a ball. No. Like, dude.
You know what's the best spot, though? Is Lesnar takes that top of the table, puts it on top of Punk, then jumps on him. And I'm like, oh my god,
this is like a playground move.
It's a douchebag.
You're right.
And I don't think it was planned, because even Punk was like, what the hell, man? Why? Why would you do that?
And, you know, and kudos to CM Punk too, because his whole shtick was he's straight edge, meaning he doesn't take, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't take any painkillers or any drugs. So dude is taking like these manly, huge, like, dumps. He's getting dumped on his head. He's getting dumped on his back. You know, he's getting, and, you know, you feel for the guy after the fact, because he's bruised. Like, he's bruising in real time. Like, you know, 5 minutes later, you see the huge welt on his back where a chair shot went. So, you know, it told a great story. You know, it was one of my favorite matches of the decade.
I'll make it just a few more. But going off that, my favorite CM Punk match of all time versus John Cena at Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, brother. So, yeah.
But, so this is the storyline, is Punk told everybody, my contract is up. Before this thing is done, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, ah, it's an internet thing. And then they were like, so that means Punk's not going to win. But it was in his hometown of Chicago. So literally, as soon as Cena gets in, they boo the hell out of him. Oh, no, sorry, not Cena isn't coming. Punk is about to come in, and the biggest chant of CM Punk you've ever heard in your life, and it's like, you're like, oh, my God, I'm pumped for CM Punk. He comes in, he holds his wrist, and he goes, it's clobbering time, because, you know, that's his thing. Goes in, and then Cena comes in, and they boo the hell out of Cena. Punk wins. One of the best things I've ever seen, and although it's kind of crappy, and he did a really bad go to sleep, but besides the fact, the match is great. The best thing about it is, grabs his title, runs through the crowd. The next day, they're like, "Yeah, he didn't sign. He didn't really sign a contract. Yeah. So he's not coming back." Shows up at New York Comic Con, Oh, with I'm the still the champion.
Yeah, with the belt.
Like, they did a tournament, and he wasn't in the tournament. He's like, hey, you guys looking for this thing? Like...
Yeah, I remember that. He was like tweeting pictures of like the belt and like in his fridge.
In his fridge.
In his bedroom.
He had it on his couch. Like him and his couch. He was holding up like Pepsi cans with it. And then they did an interview at Comic-Con. They're interviewing Rey Mysterio with Triple H. And then out of nowhere, you just hear this commotion. And then Punk's like, yeah, you guys are great and everything, but I'm still the champ. And then Triple H's like, sign a goddamn contract, man.
So. Yeah, dude, like CM Punk is just like, amazing in how he was able to manipulate that, because like we got used to that fact that like everything on the internet is true, or you know every you know website knows already like, oh, who's resigned, who's quit, who's getting fired, who's done. So like I don't know which part of that was real, which part of that was like them playing the audience, or just CM Punk being smart enough to be like, if we're gonna fool the audience, we gotta go all in and just like sell it the way that he did. So yeah, great job by Punk for that whole run. And then, you know, he got ceremoniously fired years later. Or not really fired, quit, but yeah. So, you know, going to my next favorite, I'm going to have to go with Charlotte Flair versus Asuka in WrestleMania. So that's going to be my one women's match there. Dennis was right. Like, this last decade was a huge coming out party for all the women's wrestlers. Definitely started from NXT. I just thought about it when you guys were talking. But yes, Charlotte Flair, Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch, they're basically like in the Attitude Era of like your Rock, Stone Cold, Mankind, and Triple H. Like you have to, and Undertaker if you count Asuka. Like you have to have these tentpole guys or tentpole in this day and age, these tentpole ladies who are able to hold up, you know, the wrestling ring and just bring in their side of the bargain. I still remember too, Asuka, a great wrestler from Japan. I'm not the kind of fan that Harold is that watches those kind of matches, but I've heard good stuff. I saw her in NXT. You know, Charlotte Flair, like Harold already said, the daughter of Ric Flair, you know, 6 feet tall, looks like a freaking, you know, Greek goddess, against this like 5'5", you know, Japanese lady who was unbeaten at that point. And they put on a great match. Like, it's just a classic. Like, again, I guess that's the theme of my matches. It's like this David versus Goliath thing. And they pull off a really great match. It was Asuka's first defeat. Charlotte retains her belt at the time. But, again, it was one of those mid-card matches that I don't think a lot of people expected much out of. But it blew the roof off. And I think a very effective way of cementing that women's wrestling was here to stay. And like Dennis mentioned earlier, no longer, you know, chicharron matches or, you know, bathroom break matches. You have to stick around and see how that was going to happen.
Excuse me. So, you know, one of the things that I've realized because of all of this is that, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, comic books for Harold, you know, unless you are, you know, really into the storyline, it doesn't make sense, because that's one of the things that I felt every single time we ever watched. I'm like, oh, cool. It's still the same wrestling that we see, but I don't have the same, you know, connection to these people, you know. So the shows that I've seen, really enjoyable. You could tell that the quality of the wrestling, the physicality of it, the athleticism, clearly, especially the women, clearly has like evolved over the times that we've done it. You know, right now, to be honest with you, we are a little bit over time.
Okay.
So I think we're going to end our episode today. You know, it turns out that there were so many things in the decade, and that we can't really, like, wrap up
everything. That sounds like it's going to be 2 episodes.
I guess that's what's going to happen. So, you know, I hope you enjoyed our episode today. You know, I really hope that you've been enjoying our last 2 episodes. As you know, we are trying out our new equipment. You know, we're still trying to work out the kinks, but I truly hope that you are enjoying what you are listening to. You know, real quick, big news. You know, we kind of unfortunately had to give up our website. You know, long live, well, I guess not long live, but God bless 2fanboys1casual.com.
Rest in power.
Rest in power. Rest in peace. You know, but now you can, you know, of course, you still have your, you can hear us through our social media and everything. But we also now have a new provider. We are now on podbean.com. Mm-hmm. So if you ever would need to see or listen to all our old episodes, especially if you're a newcomer to our podcast, you know, check out the twofanboysonecasual.podbean.com, and you are going to have all of our episodes from episode 2 and on that website.
Cool. And on Facebook, you can find us there always, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the Podbean pod goes live, we'll post it there. Any fun memes, any news, we'll post it there too. Not to mention, we are cultivating a little group on there too. So if you or any of your friends, like-minded individuals, fanboys and fangirls yourselves, want to talk with other folks about whatever's going around in the in pop culture, look for us to add. Just add, try to add the group. See if you can, you know, one of the moderators will gladly add you on there. And we'd love to have you guys part of the family.
And then both Twitter and Instagram at @2fanboys1casual. That hasn't changed, but yeah, the content on there is pretty much the same dorky stuff that we always do, so.
Well, that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. Stay tuned next week. We are still going to be talking about 2010s, I guess, because there's way too much content going on. Hope you enjoyed our episode. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Did your gravity fall?
My Steven, did you?
I did have gravity falls.